Good morning. Today is Trinity Sunday in the life of the church, where we celebrate and think about the God who comes to us in three aspects: as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. And so I want to start today by reading from what's traditionally known as St. Patrick's breastplate. Or it also goes by the name of I bind unto myself today. So I want to start with these words. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. By invocation of the same, the three in one, and one in three. I bind this day to me forever by power of faith, Christ incarnation, his baptism in the Jordan River, his death on the cross for my salvation, his bursting from the spiced tomb, his riding up the heavenly way, his coming at the day of doom. I bind unto myself today. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Once again, today is the day that the church celebrates the Trinity of the Godhead. And so let's go now to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord, we come to you in this day looking for your touch upon our hearts, looking for a deeper understanding of who you are. We understand you to be our creator. We understand you to be the one who sustains us, supports us, and encourages us in everyday life. We understand you, God, to be the one who has designed the path in front of us for us to walk. So we come to you first today with our hearts open to you, that you might show us those things in our lives that are sin, and that we might be able to come to you and confess those things to you and agree with you that what you call sin is sin, and that we might repent of walking in those ways, whether it's a way that we have done consciously or even unconsciously. So we come to you right now and we lay our lives open before you, knowing you to be a God who brings forgiveness, a God who brings hope, a God who brings healing, a God who brings cleansing. And Lord, as we confess to you our sins, we look for you to cleanse us, to restore us, to rebuild us, and to help us to truly be your people in this world. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you that you are our creator. We thank you that you are the God who came in the very form of Jesus Christ. You came and walked here in this world as a God who cares, a God with great concern, and a God who wanted to show us that it is possible to walk the spiritual path that you have for us. But Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus' work, how so willing he was to let go of everything that he had in heaven, And to come upon this earth and walk as we walk, that you, God, might be able to identify with us in a deeper way, and that we might be able to identify with you in a deeper way, because now you have walked among us. Jesus came teaching and sharing and healing and a person of miracles to show us who you are. But then he so willingly set all of himself aside to die on the cross for us, that we might have atonement for our sins, and that we might be able to stand in the very holy of holies and have a conversation with you heart to heart. And then, Lord, he was buried but resurrected to live a life again, to show us that we have in him victory over death, and that death will have no hold upon us. Lord, what a blessing that is. Because when we come to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, not only do you forgive us, cleanse us, heal us, restore us, rebuild us, but one day we will be resurrected just as Christ was. And as Christ was here with his disciples, he shared with them about once he left, the Holy Spirit would come. We believe Jesus Christ to be at your right hand right now, interceding for us, praying for us. But the Holy Spirit now lives within us, that third aspect of the Godhead. And Lord, we thank you so much for that, because it's by the leading and nudging of the Holy Spirit and the prompting that we can be the disciples that you want us to be. So we thank you for being our Father. We thank you for being the Son who came. We thank you for being the Holy Spirit who lives within us now as a resource to help us on the spiritual path. But Lord, we also come to you this morning with hurting hearts. There's so much going on in the midst of our world and our country that we come to you and ask that you would bring healing. Division seems to exist everywhere. And so we pray, Lord, that you would touch people's hearts in such a way that they could let go of some things, and that they could restore relationships in our community, in our society, in this world. That people might see us as the very light of you, Lord, and that they might come to know you in a deep and a powerful way, because we live as your disciples in a world that hurts. Lord, touch people's hearts. Help them to be able to sit down in conversation and talk with one another, so that it might bring healing to our nation. We also pray, Lord, that you would be with those right now who have lost loved ones. During this time of COVID-19, many have lost loved ones and have not been able to get together with a funeral like we've had in the past. So we pray, Lord, that you would especially bring comfort to them and peace to them. We pray that you would be with those who are sick, that your healing hand would be upon them, and that it would be healing them at this very moment. Whether they're taking treatments, whether they're in the hospital, whether they're at home waiting for a doctor's report, for medicines to work, for therapy to work, whatever it might be, may your healing hand come upon them right now and heal them from their sickness. And Lord, we pray for those that have financial troubles in the midst of these times. And we ask that you would help them. Lots have lost their jobs. Lots have lost benefits. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be with them in a powerful way to fulfill the needs that they have, whether it's just for themselves or for their family and their children as a whole. Lord, bring powerful healing to people who need financial help. And Lord, we also know that there are many within our country who are hurting, maybe not physically, but emotionally, mentally. And Lord, we pray that you would be with them. And then we want to pray, Lord, for those that have a spiritual hurt at this time. There are many who need to come closer to you. There are many who have yet to accept you as their Lord and Savior. There are many who need to know that you walk with them each day. So may you be present to them right now in a powerful way. Lord, what a blessing it is to know you. What a blessing it is that you're within us once we trust you. What a blessing it is to be your people. So may we, as the kingdom of God, be good disciples, reaching out into the midst of our community in a way that many more might come to know about you. And we pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. What a blessing it is to know that God is there to walk with us at all times. Today I want to read to you and share some words with you that come from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. It's the last verses of this chapter as Paul ends his letter to the Corinthian church. And I want to say one thing before I read them. In some translations, the verse numbering is not the same. Some translations will have verses 11 through 14 as the end of the chapter, and some translations will only have verses 11 through 13. The same words are there, it's just translators have made a decision to separate the verses differently according to the manuscripts that they use when they translate the scriptures for us. So I'm going to be reading from the New International Version today, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 14. Listen to these words. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our world today, and especially our country at this time, is one of division. This division has many different forms. The one that we're seeing now in the news most often is the division between white and blacks. But there's also the division between young and old. There's also the division between red states and blue states. There's also the division between the haves and the have-nots. You see, our world is very full of divisions. No matter what's going on and what's happening, there's always one side against another. It's pretty hard in this world right now. It's pretty difficult to talk about things and share about things because people so easily are being offended by the simplest of things. So divisions continue to happen. divisions are happening because of the history of this country, a history that needs much healing. Unfortunately, these divisions also affect our churches and our denominations and our spiritual organizations. We look at ourselves and we look at others about whether we're on the same side of an issue, whether we side with this person or with that. Divisions are making it very difficult, not only in our country, but also in our communities, in our churches, in our fellowships. I guess it's fortunate that the Corinthian church had a lot of divisions within it. It's fortunate because Paul felt that he had a need to write to them to try to correct some of the divisions that they had. One of the largest divisions they had is when they got together for the Lord's Supper. Those who were rich, those who had things, were able to come to the table first. And if there was leftovers, then those who did not have could come to the table. And Paul, in his letter, writes to them about this shouldn't be that way. They also had a division about their spiritual gifts and who had the right gifts and who had the best gifts and who was most blessed by God because they had the right path that they were following. So Paul writes to the Corinthian church, which was a greatly divided church. And he's hoping to help them to come together and to be an example to the world, so that the world could see what it would be like for a community to live together in a way of building each other up and helping each other in the midst of this world, instead of being a community that looked at who had and who didn't have. In the very last part of his second letter to the Corinthian church, Paul suggests five things to help us in divisions in all areas. He says that we should strive for restoration with others, no matter their station or their race. That we should be trying to resolve and trying to restore and trying to rebuild relationships and to communicate better with one another. I think if most folks thought about what they were doing in relation to, does this build community? Does this restore relationships that are broken? I think we might see some different ways in the midst of this world. For you see, we should be striving for full restoration with all people within our community, within our state, and within our country. That doesn't mean that we have to have the same thoughts and ideas as them, but it does mean that we should be supporting one another, encouraging one another, and lifting each other up. And that's the second thing that Paul says to us, is that we must encourage and build one another up. In some of the other of Paul's letters, he tells folks that they should only share words that are words that will build people up, that will encourage people, that will strengthen them, that will help them. Wonder what would happen if we just were to take the time to consider our words and our thoughts fully before we shared them. If we openly could share with one another, that would be much easier. But we should be thinking about how can we compliment someone? How can we notice their strengths, and how can we build them up from their weaknesses? So Paul says we should strive for full restoration. Paul says that we should encourage and we must build up one another. The next thing he says is probably one of the hardest things for many people. He says that we must seek to be of one mind. Now, this will require much listening to each other and seeking to understand the other person's hurts and pains. The way we mainly do communication nowadays is we share with other people our words, our thoughts, our ideas, our concerns, and very rarely do we listen. Listening is going to be very key in restoring, encouraging, and building up one another. Listening to the very hurts and pains that folks have and why they feel that way. Coming and walking with them on a journey of being healed. Being there with them in a powerful and a tremendous way by not speaking words, but by just taking in their hurts and their pains and coming to understand them in some way. That's what it means to be of one mind, to really walk with one another in such a way that we know what each other is talking about. And we can identify. Maybe we don't understand. Maybe we don't have the same experiences. But at least we can listen and walk with them. Paul also says that we should live in peace. Now, many times we think about living in peace as an absence of conflict, is making sure that there's no continued conflict going on. But this idea of peace in the scriptures, this from the Hebrew, the shalom of God, is helping other people find a fullness and a maturity in life. So living in peace with other people is to help others to mature and find the fullness that God has planned for them. And in turn, we're blessed with understanding the fullness that God has for us on this spiritual journey. That's what peace is. Peace is helping people become more mature in Christ and to walk the incredible blessings of the path that God has for them. That's peace. Paul says that we should greet one another with a holy kiss. And I think the best way for us to understand this is that we should see them as part of the same family, willing to walk with them in life's journey. I guess many parents did the same thing with their kids, and that when there was a conflict and when there was a problem, I've heard parents tell kids, "Now hug your brother or sister. Now kiss them. Tell them that you love them." I think Paul is saying the same thing here. It's time for us to reach out, and it's time for us to bring about healing by walking with one another, by considering each other as part of the same family that has been created by God to live here upon this earth and be the kingdom of God. Reach out and greet one another with a holy kiss. We are part of the same family. And we should be trying to help build each other up, encourage, bring each other to maturity, be of the same mind, and to restore relationships that have been broken. You see, if we're going to be God's people, we need to learn how to walk the spiritual journey together. Now, all this is done with the very resources of the three aspects of the Godhead. Paul finishes this letter by saying, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Can we do that? Can we allow the very Trinity of God to exist in such our lives in such a way that the very grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the very giving out of things that maybe we consider people don't deserve, because that's what grace is. God has given us blessings and gifts that we don't deserve. Is it not time for us to do the same for others? Is to reach out with blessings and gifts, even if we feel like people don't deserve it, and to give these very same things to other folks? The second is the very love of God. God demonstrated God's love in such a tremendous way that God sent his Son to die a horrible death on the cross for us, that we might have an atonement for our sins. And Scripture says that greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life, her life, for the life of a friend. And when Jesus says that all people are our neighbors, shouldn't we be willing to lay down our lives for them and show the very love of God through us? And the very last part, as he talks about the Trinity, Paul says the very fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the koinonia, the community, those that are willing to gather others in and make them part of their community, no matter what station in life they are, no matter where they find themselves, no matter what race they are, the fellowship, the community of all things. So maybe it's time for us to just take these simple words of Paul and start to live them in a tremendous way. Whether it's building one another up, whether it's encouraging one another, whether it's walking with people on the journey who have hurts and pains, that the very grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit might be in us and live through us to build community, to build a country back once again. Maybe it's time for us to allow the Trinity to live through us. What step will you take this week to help end divisions and to allow grace, love, and fellowship live through you? Think about that this week. What step will you take to end divisions and allow grace, love, and fellowship to live through you? Let us pray. Lord, you've given us so many resources to live the spiritual journey that you've called us upon. You've touched our hearts in tremendous ways. And now it's time for us to allow all that to flow through us, to touch the very hearts of others around us. It's not by our power that we do this, but it's by your power. It's by the very power of the Holy Spirit living within us. It's by the very power that Jesus existed by that Jesus showed us by living here upon the earth, dying upon the cross, and being resurrected. It's by the incredible love, Lord, that you reach out to us with. So may we be people that seek to rebuild, repair, restore, and to help in divisions, whatever they might be, within our country, within our community, within our towns, and within our cities. May we do it by your grace, by your love, and by your fellowship. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to end this by reading once again part of St. Patrick's breastplate. Christ be with me. Christ within me. Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in the mouth of all my friends and strangers. I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead, His eye to watch, His might to stay, His ear to hearken to my need, the wisdom of my God to teach, His hand to guide, His shield to ward, the word of God to give me speech, His heavenly host to be my guard. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and live through you this week.